Did Jeremy just shout out a different radio station? Nice quality control. All right. Rico, we're going to jump right into this because we've already done an hour of this show off the air. So I'm just going to lay one thing out, and then we got to talk through something. Because a certain host at this station, who will remain nameless, there's nothing new. And I go, okay, well, we see the world through completely different lenses. Before you invariably begin fat-fingering texts into your phone labeled Sparty Radio, I just want to caution you about something. If it's Sparty Radio to talk about the news of the day, what is it when you willfully ignore the news of the day? Well, at best, that's Wolverine Radio, or at worst, it's bought and paid for radio. So do what you want. Just remember something. I never dodged the Nassar thing when my school was front and center. So we're going to talk about two words that should inflame you, but seemingly give some of you a boner. The words Connor Stallions. Now, I'll explain the boner part when Kenny begins reading, but this is a wild story. And I am doing this under the guise of Michigan fan. What is your reaction when you hear the words Connor Stallions? Because he lost his mind on social media again this weekend.
Yeah, he did.
And it was in response to Sonny Dykes, head coach at TCU, being asked at Big 12 Media Day about Michigan's cheating. Now, I will say this. I do find it deliciously ironic. Sonny Dykes has been asked about this more than Jim Harbaugh and more than the standing head coach and a guy who, I think common sense says, benefited from cheating, Sharon Moore. And before you say, well, Jim's in the NFL, I will tell you that Roger Goodell's own words are, the NFL will not be a safe haven for college cheaters. They could suspend Jim. The story's right there, guys. And for Sharon, the story's right there. And before you say he can't comment on an investigation, neither could D'Antonio and Izzo for a guy they'd never met. It didn't stop anyone. Okay, so now that that PSA is out of the way, let me read to you the quotes. And Rico, stop me where you want to jump in.
Okay.
And I want to unpack this. But this is all about what is the reaction from a Michigan, because I can tell you the last thing I'd want to hear is Connor Stallions. I would be angry that this sociopath is still bumping his gums. And by the way, contradicting himself left and right.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, Sonny Dykes was asked again, and he took the reporter through the thing again. Basically, look, we had intel that the stealing was going on. We had heard it was next level. We changed some stuff. We left some stuff. We found out early enough before the game we could change a lot. Remember, they had 3 to 4 weeks to prep, not 5 days. We had dummy signals, and that's why Michigan looks stupid. I think we all know that now in retrospect.
Yeah. Because TCU was like, Michigan was like a double-digit favorite in that game. Like, that game shouldn't have been close.
Right. Now, from June, Sonny Dykes said the following. Mind you, only Buckeyes and Spartans care. That's another narrative that's just not true. Sonny Dykes said the following in June. You don't want the adage to be, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. That's not the world we should operate in. The problem, according to Dykes, isn't just the act itself. It's that to many, cheating looks like a part of the blueprint for success. And if the NCAA can't or won't rein that in, it risks losing its grip on the one thing that keeps the sport upright, trust. Once again, TCU employee. So Stallions responded, and I'm going to read this. You stop me when you want, because okay. You made several good points off the air. And Michigan fan, you can do what you want with this. I just need to know, because what Kenny's going to read to you is amazing, albeit not surprising. Here's Connor Stallions doing us all the favor of chiming in. To save everyone's time so we can move on from the same recycled story from Coach Dykes, I'll provide more details and we can wrap this up. Who the F are you, vacuum boy? What, are you kidding me?
Oh, no. Well, let me just stop you right there. He's upset that Sonny Dykes is taking a victory lap on him. His ego, his hubris, he can't handle the fact that I cheated and it didn't work and Sonny Dykes has the receipts. So Well, you know, let me just put a bullet in this thing and tell you why it didn't happen the way that it said it happened.
We lost because we turned the ball over and had poor game tackling. And TCU played well. Congratulations. The same way we won the Natty when I was not with the program, because we blocked well, tackled well, and took care of the rock. Welcome to the game of football. Since people are so intrigued by signals, the entire air raid communication system is the OC signaling to the QB and the QB signaling to the receivers, USC, TCU, etc. It's all the same. They're all the same signals too. And TCU kept everything from coordinator to QB the same, but had dummy signals and some new ones from QB to receiver. But that didn't matter because I'm watching the coach and seeing what they changed in real time. Similar to Ohio State changing their signals. They changed their route concepts and run concepts, not their formations and pass pro, which is all I care about. To say anyone, in quotations, fooled me is admitting you have no idea how signal deciphering and protecting works.
Hold on.
You want to stop there?
Yeah, let's stop there for
Go
a
ahead.
Second. So to say no one, basically, I'm smarter than everybody. You won the game, but it was because you just made, we turned the ball over. You made a few better plays, but you didn't outsmart me. I outsmarted you, even though we lost the game. That's his pride. That's his ego.
No team has ever, quote, changed signals, meaning they don't recycle the same signal to have a different meaning, because that would confuse the 18-year-olds on the field more than it would confuse me.
Once again, I'm smart. I mean, all I hear is Fredo right now from the Godfather. Well, I'm smart. I got passed over.
Right.
You can't outthink me. You would confuse your own players before you would confuse me. Right. I'm that smart.
Go ahead. He's so smart. He's a broke vacuum salesman in the lowest paying job in college football. But I digress. But he had a pipeline to the head coach. Here's the one thing I can't figure out. You're basically admitting you know your opponent has no recourse for the cheating, because week to week you can't change up what you're doing. No one who's played football is going to tell you otherwise. You can't. Meaning, once you have everything you need, the opponent is pretty much helpless on a week-to-week basis. Okay. There were games where I relayed 0% of the time, all the way through 99% of the time. No one is forcing you to signal. Oh, okay, so your cheating is now my problem. Rutgers in Minnesota didn't signal. Yeah, and Greg Schiano almost had a stroke at halftime of your game. If you go back and watch, he knew what was up. Nebraska didn't signal until the second quarter when they were down 14-0. If you don't want teams to steal your signals, then don't signal. Once again, your cheating is now my problem. Okay. Any team signals on offense is trying to force the defense to signal so they can steal it. There's no advantage unless you're trying to prevent a sub or it's 2 minute. If that weren't true, you'd see the entire NFL go up tempo to find advantages, but you don't. And it's still going on today in college with coach comms. No, that's a rule they changed because you cheated. Notice how teams signal it's because they're up tempo. The continuous attempt to correlate signals to wins and losses is funny. There were 7 games in my time at Michigan where I knew almost every signal. 2021 MSU, 22 MSU, 22 PSU, 22 OSU, 22 TSU, 21 Georgia, 21 Wisconsin. We lost 3 of those games because we didn't tackle, and Georgia was historically good.
Okay, let me stop you.
Stop again?
Yeah, let me stop you right there. 2021 MSU, correct?
Yeah.
That's the canine game, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, the reason why you lost that game is because Michigan State did something, Mike. Mel Tucker, it was a one-off. It was a no-huddle offense. It was quick tempo. Michigan was getting caught. And I think every Michigan fan remember, it was too many men on the field. Why? We're not going to let you get set up. We know you know our plays, but we're not going to let you bring in the personnel to do that. And if I remember correctly, a lot of K-9's touchdowns came off of those broken plays where you were trying to get set up. We're not going to let you do that. So to sit there and say, well, we lost that game. You knew the plays. They knew you knew the plays. And they said, well, we don't have to do the snap count the way you think the snap count's going to be. And that's why you lost that game.
Here's your problem. And this is it's a problem if you're a Michigan fan, is that, A, I don't think anyone wants to hear from this guy, but wait, we'll give you that evidence to the contrary. The other problem is he's outing himself. Because now it went from, well, I don't know if I was on the sideline. Well, I don't know what you're talking about. Dude, we left that a long time ago. He is now sitting here saying, oh, no, I had all their signs. Oh, but when we lose, it's not because the cheating didn't work or me. It's because of blocking and things. Here's your problem. If it didn't work, Connor, or it had no mitigating circumstances you're selling us, then why were you employed? And why were you funded? See, this is where the NCAA can't go. They don't have subpoena power. Who paid for all this? Why was Connor sending people to dozens of games? And if it didn't work, why did you have a direct pipeline into the headset of the OCDC and your head coach? Mm-hmm. Just come on. You're telling me? That's why the most dishonest thing that was ever said on these airwaves was by John in the morning. No competitive advantage. Boulder dash. Because the reality is, why do you watch film? Why do you want to see formation and tendencies? Mm-hmm. Why, when Luke Kuechly would call out draw, 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 did the offense go kill, kill, kill? Look, if you know what your opponent's running, you're going to win.
Mm-hmm.
99 out of 100 times.
Mm-hmm.
So which is it? See, this is my question to Michigan fan at large. When you see Connor debt spiraling on social media again, what is your reaction? That's all I'm looking for.
Yeah.
So you do what you want with it.
And for those saying, well, you guys are just bringing up. No. He hit social media. He felt the need to stand up for his reputation of how smart he is and how his system worked. The system that never really happened, but as time goes on, it did happen. He's telling you, I cheated. We scouted you and we knew all your plays, but occasionally we would lose games. Yeah, when teams did something different. And for the TCU game, the one reason why that worked, Mike, because you're right. Week to week, you can't change your plays.
No, and if I...
But when you have a whole month...
If I'm a Michigan fan, I badly want to move away from Stallions.
Man.
I want to move on from Stallions. But that's... I want to have Kenny read something. And I know it's not... You know I hate social media, but Kenny perused. I want to have him deliver something next. And we'll get some of the phone calls. I just... How many more times do we have to hear from Connor Stallions? That I don't even understand how this guy is given air.
If I was a Michigan fan, I would want him excommunicated. I would want nothing to do with him. But then again, he's the gift that keeps on giving, Mike. Could be one of the reasons how you got your quarterback.
Okay, so we're just getting warmed up on a Monday. And if you're tuning in and going, well, why aren't you talking about the Tiger? There's nothing new. They need bullpen arms. They needed it last week. They need it today. They'll need it next week. They have 17 days to get it straight with the trade deadline. I'm not freaking out about a loss to Seattle. I'm not freaking out about a four-game losing streak. They're up 11.5 in the division. I wanted to start with the Stallions thing because David was annoyed by Stallions. I, as a non-Michigan fan, every time this guy talks, I just see red. He is deranged. He's a narcissist. He's a sociopath. It explains why Harbaugh got along with him well. They're both the same person. But it's more, what's your reaction to it? Because he debt spiraled on social this weekend, attacking Sonny Dykes, who, by the way, why is he being asked about Michigan cheating more than Michigan players who have left? Or Sharone? Like, look, Big Ten Media Day is coming quick.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's safer to ask Sonny Dykes because he's down in a different part of the country, and we can kind of talk about this because if you bring this will not be discussed at Big Ten Media Day because, Mike, the media will cannibalize themselves. Whoever asked that question, oh, my goodness. He's either from Columbus or East Lansing.
So you mean doing their job?
Yes, David.
The people will be doing their job because what I'm sick of is I'm sick of hearing from Connor Stallions and him talking like he is the program. We and I and all, this is what we did. And dude, stop talking. The special comes out. I don't need a special from him. I don't need to hear about his background. I don't need to hear about how he did this, how he did that. I want him so far away from this program. It's not even funny. I am tired of hearing his name. I am tired of seeing and reading quotes from him. I'm done with him. But it seems like Michigan isn't done with him.
Michigan will never be done with him, David, until Michigan finally comes out, gives him his championship ring, and says he was the main reason why we won this title.
Oh, but hold on. You don't get to say that because by saying it, you're admitting that cheating matters.
Oh, no, no. I understand, but this is why he keeps hanging around. His ego is just, he's chomping at the bit like, you guys know it was because of me or why we won this title. Give me my flowers, and they won't.
Now, here's the thing.
They can't.
I think there are a lot of rational Michigan fans on this. The Michigan fans I know, they don't want to hear from Stallions no more. David, right? But take a listen to this. Is Kenny available, David?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Kenny, you perused, because when this went viral this weekend, naturally there are responses. That's how social media works.
Yeah.
Would you like to read? You've canvassed this, and are you comfortable saying this is the vast majority?
Yeah, I would say out of the comment section, it's a pretty gross vast majority.
Okay. Just read a few, please.
Call it what you want. Your opinion doesn't remove the national title, no matter how much you moan. That's one. More fodder for people who don't know bleep about football is another one. Oh, wow. You mean TCU use dummy signals like every effing high school in America? Get out of here with that weak-ass BS. Of course they use dummy signals. Teams do that all the time. In-game sign stealing, that's what everyone does.
That's not what the scandal's about, but thank you.
No, it's just, but all these ones are all talking points of exactly what we're doing here. It's cheeseburger, cheeseburger, cheeseburger all over again.
No, I'm still amazed the fact that this guy was allowed to resign and wasn't fired. Mm-hmm. That's still crazy to me. David, what's the ticket text before we get to the callers, brother?
Enough with Connor Stallions. Just suspend Moore for a couple games. Find Michigan and let's move on. Okay, I'm sick of him.
Time out. Hold on. Here's all I can say. I've never pretended to have any belief in the NCAA, and I've never sat here and told you what I think is going to happen. I have no expectation. I don't. But riddle me this. If it was just a two-game suspension for Moore and, quote, move on, wouldn't this have been resolved earlier? Wouldn't Michigan not have had to have fired their representation and law firm midstream? Wouldn't it have never gotten to a COI? A negotiated resolution should have been easy. Mm-hmm. So the only thing I'm left doing, and again, guys, I don't really care. My team can't get up off the floor. You know my opinion about all of it. You cheated. It's factual. You get to have your fun. I get to have mine. But if there's really nothing and you, quote, just suspend Moore and move on, then why are we here?
Mike, if it was really nothing when the NCAA came to Ann Arbor, they didn't ask you to come there. They came to you. They came to your crib. You all left. Didn't want to talk to them. You ghosted the NCAA. If it was nothing, you sit there, you hammer it out over a cheeseburger if you want, and you're done.
Different
scandal. We move on.
Different scandal.
I understand. But just the irony of, let's go have a cheeseburger.
I know. Go ahead, David. Now I'll get to the callers, bud.
From Tony and Macomb, he says, Connor Stallions couldn't remember if he was on the CMU sideline, but now he's Rain Man.
Well, okay. Ooh, wow. First things first. The dumbest thing Stallions did was the mockumentary. That's not a documentary. He lied on camera to the NCAA. That's Connor. Mm-hmm. Like, stop. So, again, every time he talks, if I'm a Michigan fan, I would just be annoyed. But the problem is, even when he was away from the program, certain people platformed Connor.
Boom.
They platformed him. They sent him to games. Mm-hmm. Then here are the photo ops at the Rose Bowl in places that if I were a Michigan fan, this guy never should have been. How about what Rico said? I know it was a zinger. And yes, it's about the money. But why was this guy so wrapped around your quarterback you were desperately chasing when he's not a part of the program, but there he is at Belleville?
Oh, no, that wasn't a zinger. That's factual, Mike. He all of a sudden left his job, non-paying job, to go to Belleville for the final week for the playoffs to help out the quarterback who ended up going to Michigan who was committed to LSU.
Yeah, it would drive me nuts. And if I have no comparative. There's no comparative to any of it. There's no comparative to what the scandal was. I've never seen anything like it. It was just different, right? Like, I'm used to money and lunch bags and stuff, but
no, we saw this in real time. When the NCAA, when the Big Ten, Tony Petitti calls Michigan State and says, hey, guys, I normally don't make this phone call, but if you don't want to play this game coming up this Saturday, no harm, no foul, we will just move away from it. Nobody's getting fined because if you're, well, they know your plays.
Actually, if you don't score, you didn't play. We're so terrible, Mike, it doesn't matter.
Mike, let's stay focused.
I'm sorry.
Let's stay focused.
We're just bad at football.
I know, Mike. Stay focused.
All right. I will read this text from Jason. He's kind of on that line, saying, personally, I blame the Big Ten and the NCAA. They should have handled this 2 years ago. We would be done, wouldn't hear from Connor. That's Jason.
Yeah, but, you know, okay. God, you're going to make me defend Michigan. In real time, I don't think you had enough to stop a season. I said it back then. I'll say it now. That's the genius of cheating in the NCAA is that you never get the punishment in real time.
No, but see, I disagree because you did, because you literally had Connor Stallions on the sideline of CMU.
But we didn't. Okay, but
so you could have stepped in and said, what's going on here?
I agree. But Rico, here's the problem. They don't have subpoena power.
Okay.
Yeah, no.
No, you're right.
How about this?
But this is one of those where we watched it.
I know.
A lot of times you find out about the story because a kid does an interview on a podcast or a TV show 3 years ago. Yeah, Tennessee gave me this bag of money or this happened. I thought it was fake when people kept saying, like, dude, look at this dude with the glasses and the laser beams coming out and all of this. I'm like, that's not wow. That is real.
I know. But I never realized it was what it ended up being. And honestly. So, look, I, from an ideological standpoint, I agree with you. It's idealistic. I don't know how look, the NCAA normally takes 4 or 5 years. Mm-hmm. This is going to be under 2. It's been fast-tracked. I don't know. I have no idea what's going to happen. I just know one thing. I don't want to hear or see Connor Stallions again.
Yeah.
And I'd love to know John's opinion about it, but they couldn't be bothered to talk about it today. 248-539-9797.
I'd love to know Michigan fans' opinion of it. Like,
and we're going to talk to the fans.
Is this guy a cult hero of yours?
Well, look, it seems like on social he is. But then when you talk to real human beings, like I have several Wolverine friends. I know that may shock people. They hate this guy. Some of them now hate their team. Okay, I'll leave that for you. But on socials, you're right. He's football Jesus. It's a very weird thing. And that's why I thought we could do this today. Mm-hmm. And also, it's just another example why you can't trust the media. You just can't. And whether it's something as important as Epstein files or Hunter Biden's laptop or the country being run by a mummy in an auto pen and either side or both couldn't be bothered to report on it, it's no different with college. I mean, the fact that the LLC story never got investigated, never to be heard from again, when there are people on the beat of Michigan football, the specific beat.
The vacuum cleaner, LLC.
It's this, right, that was dissolved the day that this all broke.
Just for those who are like, what LLC? Yeah, that's what it was.
Like when you put someone's name on an LLC and they don't know it, that's a felony. Or if you did have your name on there, it means you're in business, which means you're ineligible. Like things like that, that's again, there is a general and justified mistrust of media, and it's bled from politics to sports. It's the same thing now. Mm-hmm. So, yes, we'll get to your calls on the Stallions portion. I don't expect you to care about media. We'll do that next, 97.1. All right, we'll get to the people. Yes, later on, we're going to get to some Tiger stuff. Nothing earth-shattering, but Connor Stallions spiral. David's upset. I totally get it. I would not want to hear from Stallions anymore from a Michigan fan, but it just doesn't stop. And I think he only hurts your case. And again, the COI is going to drop the punishment in the next X amount of days or weeks, not months or years. It's cringeworthy. So I just want to know what you guys think about hearing from him, because online, he's a hero.
Yeah.
In real life, when you talk to callers, people, they hate this guy.
And the fact that it seems like every time he opens his mouth, Mike, his story changes. And it's a new version. It's a different twist. And it went from, I don't know what you're talking about. It went from, I was the lone wolf, the lone guy. Just blame it all. Like Michigan had their chance to just take. He was willing to take all the blame. No? Okay. What about this story? Like I said, I don't care. I can't remember if I was on CMU sideline, but you can remember all of these different plays? Really? Are you smart or not? Oh, no, I'm smarter than Sonny Dykes. I mean, yeah, he beat me, but it's only because of this. Like, I knew the plays. He just beat me because we turned the ball over.
What is your reaction to hearing from Stallions again? You do what you want with it. Our man Bishop's going to bat leadoff today. Bish, nice to hear from you again.
Michael, how are you, my friend? Brother Super. Rico, 06, my friend.
What's happening, Bishop? I'm going to leave you and Mike alone.
Oh, stop. Well,
I'm going to turn my mic off.
Stop.
This is you and
this
Mike.
This is a peaceful summit with Bishop.
It is. It is. And I'll tell you why it's peaceful, because, Michael, I was really hoping you would lead with, you know, why Tommy Canley is so bad, or, you know, the sweep, or, you know, any of that. You could have even talked about the quarterback room at Michigan being unsteady, but you lead with this. So now I'm bound by law to talk about it, and I'll tell you in two words, nobody cares anymore, especially Michigan fans like us. It is something that we enjoyed at the time, much like a Bama or Georgia that had some sort of decided advantage in winning multiple championships. There's a thing, whatever that thing may be, that's going to help you to get over the top. For us, let's say it was Connor Stallions. For them, maybe it was a giant bag of Southern money for, like, everybody on the team. Which, I will add, I think drove many of these country coaches out of football because they no longer had that exclusivity, and now everybody has the bag. But I digress. All I want to say, Mike, is no one really cares about it. I think right now we're going to get what we're going to get. But I have to close this, Mike, with a question. It just seems like, man, for 20-some-odd years that I've been talking to you, man, you just want to get that pound of flesh from Michigan. So I ask you, What will make you happy?
You're not going to like my answer.
What? Well, wait a second. And before, I'm going to give you the second part of this.
Yeah.
What will make you happy, and what will make you leave it alone?
Like, you don't have to let go of things that are inherently wrong. Now, the nobody cares thing, I disagree with. I think you have to ask teams that were affected. Now, your guy was on our sideline. That's something that's just beyond the beyond. I don't think you have to let go of anything. What's going to happen to you? I have no faith in the NCAA. So I don't care. I've never been heavily invested in it. I've gotten what I've wanted out of this, Bishop, in that you don't get to claim that you're some integrity champion.
Okay? Leaders and best.
Yeah, you're just as dirty as the rest, and that's cool. You know what I want, though? I'd like to be at a radio station where it's not left up to me, where everybody just does their damn job.
Okay, I'll take it.
No,
I get what you're saying.
No, that's what I want.
Right, yeah.
Because what happens is, by everyone else turning a blind eye to an actual story, then it gets labeled as Sparty Radio. Well, flip the script. The other 8 hours of the day are Wolverine Radio with the play-by-play team on the air. So what's that? So, Bishop, I'm not being evasive. Nothing that happens to your program really matters. Mine can't get off the floor. You have been proven to be cheaters, and that's all I cared about because you cheated. But the rest, it's just I get tired of this place being able to just selectively pick what we're going to talk about. No, the news is the news. Just like Hunter Biden's laptop wasn't convenient.
Right here. But nothing. I know, like you said, you go through. Mike, it still amazes me that I've yet to read the expose on the whole Ward Manuel rent-a-car to Xavier Simpson.
Remarkable.
It happened. Right there. As ridiculous as the story was, it was laughed off, and I'm like, and nothing.
Dude, I remember the day that the ex-color analyst on the broadcast turned play-by-play analyst went on an unhinged radio interview attacking the character of sexual assault victims. No one talked about it. Nope, good old Sparty Radio had to.
Right.
Well, I don't know. It seems like news when a guy basically goes on air, sounds like Donald Sterling, and goes one step short of saying he's got AIDS.
Right. Well, you found out, well, who's a real son and who's not a real son?
He does drugs. Dirty drinks.
He's a fake son. He's a real son.
Okay, well, none of that matters if you were raped by your doctor. Just throwing that out there. So, Bishop, I know that's long-winded, and I do apologize, and I hope you're still with me. What I want is just a level of honesty. Just call a spade, what I've done for 20 years, even when it's inconvenient, even when it's my team's. I'd like the other side to actually do that. That's all. The penalties or whatever. I don't have any faith the NCAA would do anything real anyways. Now, do I think it's something? Yeah, because if it was nothing, this would have been resolved. But, I mean, who are we kidding here? It's not going to be 1987 SMU, so what does it matter? We're going to play the games. But that's, I'm sorry, I know that was long-winded, but I really wanted to answer Bishop's question, and nicely.
No,
I think I was nice. We'll get to more of the phone calls. I know we got to get some football in. We can continue. And yes, we will get to the Tigers. But guys, I would ask you, what's changed?
4-game losing streak, Mike.
It doesn't matter. They looked a little bit checked out this weekend. No big deal.
A little bit.
Okay, 11.5 game lead in the division.
They were already at their tee time.
All right, we'll get back to business in a moment. I do want to touch table on a little football. Not the cheating variety. Real football. Rico Beard.
All right, so we've been doing like the 25 things because, you know, in NFL. So from the year 2000 till now, how about the top 25 NFL moments?
Like individual plays?
Or moments, not plays, but just moments. For example, an honorable mention is DeMar Hamlin's return, you know, after the what happened out in the field. Or another one is the Saints' surprise onside kick.
In the Super Bowl.
In the Super Bowl. Jim Mora's playoff rant in 2001.
Oh, my God. Okay, this is all over the board. Here's
so
what I
moments,
would ask.
Moments, not plays, moments.
But here's what I would ask.
Okay.
And David, Kenny, I'm going to need you guys to play along here. We're going to need hints. When you open this up to moments and not just plays, I mean, come on. We'll all be just bouncing off the walls here.
Can I guess a moment right now here?
Sure.
Can I go Beyonce halftime lights out?
No, David. It did not make the list. But that Super Bowl's not in here. But here's your hint. There are a lot of Super Bowl moments on this list.
All right. When Cam Newton openly quit on his team and didn't dive for the ball on the ground.
No.
Damn it. Okay, I'm done. Go ahead.
Okay, I'll guess another one since you said Super Bowl. Let's go with the 99-yard interception return for James Harrison.
David,
you are something else.
At number four.
What about the comeback, the
28-3?
Yep.
Kenny at number
I like how Kenny casually is just like, yeah, that comeback thing.
Tom Brady at 28-3.
I was trying to remember the score. It was 28-3.
Yes.
Oh, there was a slight comeback.
Something happened, I think. I don't
Michael?
Know.
Yeah.
A couple of these involve your team.
All right. Mario Manningham's catch. My favorite Wolverine ever. He led us to the second title in 2011. It was a dime by Eli, but Manningham with an unbelievable catch.
That wasn't the helmet catch, was it?
No, that's David Tyree. That's in 07. Bubblegum catch? Okay. I'm on the board. Number one.
David Tyree is.
Yes.
Yeah, that's number one.
Go look at that Manningham catch. Okay. I may hate Wolverines, but I buy that guy dinner.
But there's more on there.
Giants ones?
Yes. There's one that, come on. Everybody tries to simulate this play.
The OBJ catch?
Wait a minute. In a meaningless Monday Night Football game.
Yes.
Okay.
Number 11.
Great. And his career was all downhill from there. Give us a hint.
I got one. Nope, I don't need a hint for this one. Philly special.
Good one, David.
Number 9.
Really good one.
There's two that I'm kind of wrestling between. And they're both Marshawn Lynch. The one time that they didn't hand it off to him, and the I think it was 2011, he had that monster run.
So which one do you want, Kenny?
I think more iconic would probably be not handing it off to him because that created more
the
wins.
Interception.
Yeah.
Malcolm Butler's pick at the goal line.
Yes.
Never forget, Russell Wilson claims that in his third step after the pick, God talked to him.
Can I also guess
Russ,
the one also
no.
that I'm talking about?
I wish Russ would have never said anything now. No,
yeah,
Russ.
God said, Russ, no.
But I'm with Kenny. It was Seahawks, Saints, Beast Mode was born.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Kenny, you should have stuck with that one because that was number 3.
It's one of the greatest runs you'll ever see.
Yeah.
We mentioned one with the James Harrison. David, there's one more from that
Super Bowl. Santonio Holmes in the corner.
Yeah.
Yes.
There. To hell with you, David.
All right.
That catch ruined everything. I was rooting so hard for the Cards and Larry Fitzgerald.
They almost did it, man. They almost did it.
Think Tennessee Titans.
1 yard line. Kevin Derek Mason or Kevin Dyson or whoever it was. Just a yard short.
London Fletcher stopped him.
What about the Minneapolis Miracle?
Has that been brought up yet? I was going to guess that next. Good one, Kenny.
Yes.
Now, hold on. Wait a minute. Minneapolis Miracle, yes.
You're right. Yeah, the Minneapolis Miracle is different, but the Minneapolis Miracle is 15.
Music City was 2000. Yeah. Yes. That makes the list. Frank Wycheck.
I was thinking 99, but you're right. It was 2000.
That made
Can
the
you
list.
Name the quarterback for the Bills that day?
Frank Wright.
No.
It was. That wasn't
Wycheck. Oh, it wasn't Flutie, was it?
No. I think it was Rob Johnson.
Really?
Go back and look. I know it wasn't J.P. Lozman, but just look. But Music City Miracle and Minneapolis Miracle.
Music City Miracle, number 8. Minneapolis Miracle, 15.
Okay. How about Dre Greenlaw blowing his Achilles while celebrating and ruining Rico's life? Is that on the list?
See, I gave you good things. You know what, David?
My team is so bad.
David, I'm just going to give you one right off the rip because, you know, Mike's mean. The Miracle at the New Meadowlands. The Giants.
No. Matt Dodge was instructed, do not kick this to DeSean Jackson.
Uh-huh.
Matt Dodge, an idiot rookie punter from East Carolina, proceeded to kick it right to the most dangerous man in the NFL. Eagles return the punt for the win with, like, no time on the clock. Bar none, it is the modern version of the Miracle at the Meadowlands featuring Joe Pisarcik. It was one of the worst losses of my life.
Yes.
Where is it?
That's number 20.
Not that I'm bitter.
That's what you get for the Dre Greenlaw.
I deserve that.
Okay.
And Mike, you were right. It is Rob Johnson. Flutie started 15 games that year and then got sacked because they clinched. And Rob Johnson started in the playoffs. What?
And Rob Johnson wore a do-rag for inexplicable reasons. He had like a Michael Penix Scully cap on. It was amazing.
This next one happened fairly recently last year. Another one happened in a playoff game.
Okay, let me guess the playoff game. Is it 13 seconds? Chiefs-Bills.
Yes.
Wow, good for
23.
You. That is still going to be the Bills' best opportunity. Like, that opportunity... You'll never have it again.
David, this one probably hurts you at 24.
Ooh.
Because.
Well, the Steelers lose every playoff game.
Right.
No, but it was who they lost to.
This wasn't losing in the regular. Is this a playoff game?
Yeah.
Oh, would this be the COVID? How about the COVID year where the first play of the game, they snapped it over Roethlisberger's head?
Mm-mm. Oh. This was 2012.
That was not good.
I laughed my ass off.
This was 2012, and this guy's no longer in the league. He was kind of a joke in the league.
Oh, but this was Tim Tebow. Oh, my gosh. I hate that play.
In Denver, the slant pass.
He got lucky, man.
At 25, I'll give it to you, the Saquon backwards leap.
Totally overrated.
How's that on the list
already? It's totally overrated. It's a nothing moment in a game.
It's moments.
I understand it was an interesting thing. It's not even a move. It was silly.
At 22... the Michael Vick walk-off in 2002.
Amazing. Against Minnesota. Yes. Overtime.
Amazing. Yes.
That basically was like the Michael Vick experience commercial, but in real life.
Yes. We watched Favre was on that team. He was quarterback of that team.
Can I throw one? This is, David, I'm going to be wrong, but any of Robert Griffin III's rookie, holy hell, who is this guy? Like read option, 80 yards against the Rams. It was like the longest quarterback run I'd ever seen in my life.
Not in there.
I just didn't know if it was a moment.
No. Question, did the Dennis Green thing come up yet? I'm not sure. They are who we thought they were?
19.
Do you know who they played?
I do, but go ahead.
No, I want to see if Kenny does, because like earlier he cited 28-3 as that comeback thing.
That would be, I think,
he
the
says
Bears?
He in the rant. There you go.
Yeah.
You want to crown the rest? Crown them! Oh, we thought they were. We let him off the hook. Also, he's dead.
He rest in peace.
Is he really?
Man, rest in peace.
Rest in peace.
Tom Brady unretires 2022.
Ugh.
How about Tom? How about Tom Brady at Bezos' wedding? Guy's an assassin.
Uh-oh.
Did you see who he's linked with?
No. Yes, I have.
Go look. Okay. Sydney Sweeney, Sophia Vergara. I mean, mod on. This guy, he's all over the place.
I mean, he was married.
He had a ball at that wedding, man.
I mean, he was married. Now he's not.
Nice.
All right.
I'm aware. I'm just
do
telling
you, man. All right, this one. Richard Sherman versus Michael Crabtree.
Man, snatching chains and disrespect and fights and oh, man.
At 17, Terry Porter's pick six in the Super Bowl, making sure that the Saints got their first Super Bowl.
Thank God.
At 16, the River City Relay.
River City Relay.
Jags, Saints, it was like three laterals.
Well, then where's the Dolphins, the miracle in Miami against the Patriots?
That's a great one.
That was a far better relay drill.
Hey, not mine. Okay. At 14, Brett Favre's dad game after his father had just passed.
Okay. Monday Night Football against the Raiders.
Yep. At 13, Favre's return to Lambeau, 2009.
How about Favre bilking taxpayers in Mississippi?
That too. At 12, Devin Hester's kick return in the Super Bowl for Peyton Manning.
To hell with Devin Hester. The Giants also kicked a way too long field goal, and he returned a field goal on my team.
And the other one that we did not get was Aaron Rodgers throwing not one, but two Hail Marys to Jeff Janis. So, and 2016.
Good poll. Wow.
Those are your top 25 NFL plays according to CBS Sports. 97.1.